Hello.
How's it going?
Hello.
Need to check my settings since I had changed them up for a TF2 recording.
Ah.
So my settings are all switched.
Skype kept crashing on me, and then it came up with a message saying, we've changed things and fixed some bugs so that your performance is much better. I'm like, mm-hmm.
All right, so right now I'm doing an audio test with myself, and I'm blowing out pretty bad.
Ooh, yeah, you are.
All right, now I'm testing. Oh, that's still really okay.
So let's see here. Can I tell you that my job is sending me to Boston in November?
Oh, what for?
There is a conference of other experts in my field, and they thought it would be best to send me.
Oh, sweet.
Yes.
So it's like a design conference?
Yes.
That's cool. Boston's really nice. So
I told them since I'm representing the company, they should actually print out some business cards for me.
You've never had business cards?
Yeah.
What?
You've never had business cards yet?
Because I don't interact with customers, so they don't usually print business cards for designers.
And nowadays they make you buy your own.
So I told them I need some business cards. I also need a couple of the nice polo shirts with the embroidered logo.
What? No, that's I agree with Ben. That's completely legitimate.
I'm agreeing, but I'm also laughing because I have heard people do that before, and then I've heard the boss say, "Yeah, that's great. You've got money. Go do it."
And yeah, it's their job to get me all, you know, situated.
Well, I mean, they are, but in this case, they are sending you to be a representative, so they should spend, you know.
Yeah, they already spent $2,000 on this, and it hasn't even happened yet.
Well, but like that's typical though. They'll spend thousands of dollars on getting you there, but then like, oh, you need stuff to present. Oh fuck, we don't have budget for that. And it's like, oh, so I'm supposed to go buy the posters and shit. Thanks.
No, it's actually really good. I'm also being interviewed by a publication about my expertise in the field. So
cool.
Ooh, okay. Can you tell, or is this secret publication?
No, it's not secret. It's not secret. I'm going to be interviewed by Campaign Monitor this week.
Ooh, cool.
And they are actually a company in Australia, Kitty Hawk.
I've actually heard of them. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you showed it. You were the one who showed me that. Yeah, so that's cool. You could see where they're based out of.
They don't say on their site. You have to look at their parent company, Freshview.
Okay.
That's their parent company, and they are in Sutherland.
Where?
Sutherland.
Sutherland.
It's a ways away from you.
Yeah, I know it is. I'm just looking where it is because. I'm still trying to learn the map. Oh, it's in New South Wales. That's nice.
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
It'll get nice and cool.
See, but like I said, I'm being interviewed later this week by them, and we're gonna see. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to all this because now my name's gonna spread out as being an expert in this field, and then maybe good things will happen from there. But because I am an expert in this field, so
yeah. Oh man, that's a really nice area. There's like a bunch of national parks in that area. It's like just like southwest of Sydney.
Yeah, let me show you the conference that they're sending me to. It's
okay. Yeah.
Okay, this is the conference they're sending me to, and they registered me for the Boston show. They're sending another designer to the San Francisco show, so I actually originally requested to go to San Francisco, but they said that they were planning to send another designer to San Francisco. So I was like, "Oh, okay."
Current top five email clients is awesome. Apple iPhone, Outlook, Apple iPad, Apple Mail, and then Android.
I know.
No, I'm just laughing because I just always laugh whenever I see that. Or like when I look at like who's coming to my site, it's always it's always just like, oh man, that's awesome.
But yeah, actually, I use sites like Litmus and Campaign Monitor as resources for my work all the time.
Yeah. And that'd be awesome to work for them. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but go to conferences and talk about what things I've been doing in that field and stuff. And like I said, this is actually going to be really cool because, the full report's actually really interesting. Because Outlook.com, I think you'll see an artificial rise in Outlook.com's numbers.
Yeah.
In March. You see that?
Yeah, I see that.
What's that from?
What?
What's that? Why a particular Outlook?
Outlook.com, because Hotmail switched to Outlook.com on that month, and basically
it's like how G Plus got a bunch of new users when they forced everyone with a Gmail account to get a G Plus account. So it's like whoopty fucking do, or like when Xbox Live first came out, they gave out so many free subscriptions. And they were, and like Sony was not giving away free, like I think Sony was only giving away a month at that point. And it was like, Microsoft's like, look at all our subscribers. And Sony was like, yeah, none of them are paying.
But yeah, it's like I said, this is the Outlook numbers are really what bothers me though, because a lot of that is still 07, 10, and 13, which has a shit renderer for emails. So that's why emails had to be written in an ass backwards way.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah.
No, everyone in this field knew this. Everyone in this field knew this for 5 years, Fez. Where have you been?
I've not had an office job until recently. I'm currently training and using Outlook for the first time in my life.
Whoa. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't get it.
It's fucking stupid.
Well, I did with the company I work for. I do get Microsoft Office for like $10.
Oh, that's nice. So, yeah.
Not that I
open. Use well, it. Even though like Open Office,
I use
available.
Open Office.
Hold on 1 second.
So,
And also, actually, funny you mentioned Office. That has to do a lot with tablets today, actually, and the reason why Microsoft is fucked forever.
But anyways, I said, that's what they're doing for my job. They're sending me, and I'm interviewing people. I'm being interviewed by. By
That's
big
cool,
sources,
dude.
So I'm gonna have my name out there a little bit more. And
well, awesome. Congratulations!
I'm glad that you're able to do that. Yeah. Oh, hey, Fess. Yeah. So you got a job?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome! Yay!
Well, I'm just in. It's in. I don't really tell publicly, so I won't actually say where I work. But I'll tell you.
Okay,
I'll tell you guys if you don't tell anyone.
Okay. All right. Let me just get this.
Pulling up Twitter.
Okay.
I got a job at.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com. This is a newscast episode.
I thought it was the webcast beacon, not...
No, this is the Webcomic Beacon, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com.
Yay!
I'm pretty sure you said webcast the last time.
Yeah, at some point. Anyway, I'm Fess, and that was Ben Carver from Animation Aficionados.
Good to be back.
We got Kitty Hawk from...
Sparkling Generation, Valkyrie Yuki, SGBY.com. Thank you for having me.
And Monty from Vegetables for for Dinner, right?
Vegetables for Dessert.
Dessert.
So, Dark Neil. Humor
called Blackheart.
All right, so it's been a while since we recorded something. Hopefully some people have caught up with their Webcomic Beacon podcast RSS feed. It's September now. It's August. August 26, 2013, in which we're recording this. Semi-final episodes are supposed to be coming up this November and December, including our top 100 favorite webcomics of all time, which I'm basically going to have to go back to everybody that I got word from and record something separate with them so I can put together a string of podcasts. But today, we're going to talk about some fun news and some news that's been happening in the past couple of weeks. First off, probably the biggest news we have is that Wacom has finally released a bit of more information about their basically Cintiq tablet called the Cintiq Companion, brought to us by The Slanted. Such an odd name for a website. And let's see.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, so who has some thoughts about this?
Let me go first, because I was so freaking disappointed when I when I saw that companion. Okay, so I'd been excited for months because I had known that they were working on this, and rumors I had heard were headless, wireless, things like this. And I actually know people who work on drivers for Wacom. So I was like constantly asking them questions like, did you get it? Do you have it in your hands? But they never got it. And I was like, what the hell? Why haven't they gotten it? Like, why haven't they gotten this new thing? And then as soon as they revealed it, I knew why. It's because it's Windows and Android, and the people I know that are working on it are Linux. Mm-hmm. So they were, of course, not going to get it for, you know, writing drivers because that's Linux. And I'm very disappointed because it's just basically they took their Cintiq 13HD, slapped like basically a laptop to the bottom of it and said, you can have Android or Windows 8. And I'm looking, and then like, it's like $2,500. And I'm like, what the fuck? I can literally take my Mac Mini and slap it on a Cintiq 13HD, you know, like lift up the base a little bit and just put it right there on the base and then say, it's a companion. Because that's what they basically did. And then they're like, oh, you can hook it up to a machine. I'm like, okay.
Well, I would expect, yes, of course, you should be able to hook it up to a machine.
Yeah, but I was expecting wireless because they had said this was a mobile wireless solution is how they advertised it back in, I think it was like May or June when they said they were working on this. And they said it was a mobile wireless solution. And then this comes out and it's like, what the fuck? This is not either of these things. This is like as portable as the original Macintosh portable. If you've never seen this thing, well, for one thing, it weighs over 20 pounds.
It's luggable.
It's luggable. You can lug it, but it's not portable. I would not call it portable by any means.
Well, it has to put the, it runs off of batteries, right? That doesn't require
it. Yeah.
It has a battery, but let's talk about let's talk about the battery life. Yeah, let's talk about the processor as well.
Okay, so the processor is actually not, let's see, it's Haswell, not Ivy Bridge, right?
I'm looking at it right now. I think it actually is Ivy Bridge.
Okay, because I'd heard that it was the older, okay, which one's the older one? Because I'm always confused.
Ivy Bridge is the older one. Haswell's the new one that has the better battery life and processing.
Okay, so here's why they went with the older one, Ivy Bridge. The Cintiq, if you've never had a Cintiq, you don't know how hot these things can get.
They heat up.
And the thing is that it's because you've got an LCD monitor, a giant LCD monitor in this thing. And of course, monitors heat up. So occasionally you have to shut the thing down while you're playing so that you can...
That's the Android version, Fess.
Yeah, that's the Android version. Okay. So you have to shut down a Cintiq occasionally because it overheats. And if you continue to push it, you end up like people I know who say, now my Cintiq is acting weird. And I'm like, I know, you have to turn it off occasionally.
Because all the connections start to, all the metal melt. Starts to actually really literally melt.
Yeah, it's a very hot. So the reason they went with the older processor is while it's less efficient and less powerful, it runs at a lower temperature, and that's why they went with it. Because
slightly lower.
And then I'm just looking at this. I'm going, so you're making compromises because of heat. You couldn't solve the heat problem.
The funny thing is this: actually has internals that pretty closely matches, not an exact match for match. With the Surface Pro, obviously it has half of the pressure sensitivity, which I do know about. But when you put the two side by side, and you say someone who hasn't used the newest Cintiqs with double the pressure sensitivity, here, you know, someone who jumped from a bamboo or something comparable, jump from that to, like, you know, a Surface Pro beats it on the price point and has pretty much not exactly the same functionality, but pretty close. And it's like this is more of a prestige item than a competitor, I think.
Well, I don't even think it's a prestige item. I really honestly think that this is the best that Wacom can do. And my suspicion is that this was originally an Android deal. But I think because Microsoft's been very, like, not doing so well with the tablets, I think they might have paid them to put Windows 8 on it just to, you know, get another Windows 8 device, which is hilarious because we all know what happened with Balmer. Over the almost billion-dollar loss over the Surface, go ahead.
Okay, I don't think that it was Microsoft pressuring Cintiq as much as Cintiq wanted to be able to say, "Here is something, and you can use real Photoshop on it." I think that was their big thing, and I think that, you know, obviously they couldn't go to. Apple and no, license OS X. Maybe they would have been able to do a hardware thing later in the future, but obviously not at this junction.
No. I agree that, like, there's no way that Apple is going to partner up with Wacom. I mean, like, I've looked into ModBooks, which are basically the Mac equivalent of the Surface Pro. It's actually like a custom deal.
Yeah.
And it has about the same specs, and but it's not quite there. The truly portable good tablet isn't there yet. Like, I mean, I played with a Surface Pro, and it's a very cool device, but the problem is it's Windows, and I also know that the support is going to go away because it's pretty obvious that things at Microsoft are shaking up again, and. Well, and hilariously enough,
they can afford to have the support go away for Windows 8. I think they're going to stick with Windows 8.
No, not for Windows 8, but I think the Surface is probably going to get pushed off to the side at some point, like Microsoft does with a lot of their failed projects. They just sort of shove it off to the side, and then they're like, yeah, let's never talk about that again.
I gotta be fair. It was RT that was the failure. Pro actually competed quite well. But,
no, they actually had to knock down the price on the Pro because the Pro isn't selling very well. It's obvious that they entered way too late.
But the price change actually happened with the Pro pretty close to what would be the product cycle. But regardless, like I said, what I'm saying is
that's not fair, dude, because the iPad after 1 year did not drop by $150. That's totally like that's
yeah, but that's Apple.
But I know what I'm saying.
You're comparing apples to Windows at this point.
You don't get it because, like, look at product cycles of even consoles. They usually don't drop $100 within 9 months. I'm really serious.
You're comparing different markets.
A price drop within 9 months is usually very bad. That generally means that there's problems. And maybe Microsoft is trying to fix these problems.
An answer to competition, especially if you're talking about video game consoles, that they have to basically...
Well, but I'm saying it's similar. Like, the thing is that things that happen in business, even though it's different markets, they pretty much have the same forces going on, which is... If the demand isn't high enough, then you have to lower the price, and which is what Nintendo had to do with the Wii. And it's pretty obvious that they had to drop the price.
Nintendo's
so
never had to drop the price. It's been
what?
It. The Wii's been. Are you talking about Wii U?
Wii U is what
okay.
I'm talking
okay.
about.
Okay.
But also, I have to be fair that Surface Pro, you know, I've seen that it's RT lumped with Pro that's really dragging the numbers down. Pro actually did sell quite well. It didn't sell gangbusters, but it did sell quite well enough to justify the expenditure into a generation two.
but also,
you know, I really don't think it's fair to say it amounts to the same thing as, say, the Kin.
It's not the kin, but I will say that, like, it is obvious that Microsoft made some missteps in its release. Okay, I will be fair and say that there were missteps made in its release. And this is actually just because Microsoft has wanted to release a tablet since 2000. Bill Gates wanted one so bad, but at every single turn, Office fucked the project. The Office division would constantly say, we don't want to rewrite it. Blah, 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 blah. So this killed the original slate, the original Surface.
The Courier.
The Courier. Well, the Courier didn't even make it to prototype stage. So it's like, eh.
The Courier didn't make it because
Windows. Because it was Office again.
Gates asked one question to the guy developing it.
Mm.
How does it do email?
Yeah,
the guy says, "Oh, it doesn't do email," and he started rocking back and forth in his chair.
That was because, like, honestly, this is what's happened at Microsoft. There really is, honestly, I don't think there's any really like. I've heard some stories about like what's going on in Microsoft, and it's pretty fucking bad. It's like infighting, and that's why I'm really disappointed, because it's like the Surface is close to what I want, but it's like. Come on, Microsoft, pull your shit together. You could just buy a Linux distro like Macintosh, and then you'd be fine. But you won't do this because Office.
I think we could have a whole separate discussion.
Yeah. We could get into
on
that.
On Microsoft.
The point I'm trying to, I think Kitty Hawk and I both agree on is the Cintiq Companion is really a non-competitor to everything else out there. Only like the really certain people who really want to be locked in will take it. And the Android one is, I'll be honest, a joke, because there is a lack of really good Android drawing programs that showcase pressure sensitivity. It's going to be like, okay, what can I do with it? Okay, nothing.
Well, if you build it, they will come, I guess, is the idea here.
Yeah, the problem is that Wacom basically wants to get into the standalone device market, but they really just don't. They really honestly did not put any research into it. And this companion basically proves that they have nothing. Like, it's just, it's sad. I'm really disappointed, because the Yanova tablets look really good, but they're not quite there yet. They're like, you know, I give them, it's like, it, okay, the way I put it is, it's like being in the 1970s in America, you know, and you're looking at a Japanese car, and you're just saying, yeah, in about 10 years, that thing is going to kick the ass of anything American. But
don't buy one now.
But yeah, it's like, it's still like, that's 10 years off. So it's like, it's irritating, because we're currently in that part of the cycle where it's like, there's nothing really happening, and is it going to happen? That's the question. Because
I really question their choice of processors, because you know the Tegra 4 for the Android version. I mean, Tegra has always had issues ever since Tegras have been out, and I think that going with Tegra over a Snapdragon. S4 is just, well, yeah, that's true. NVIDIA practically gives those suckers away. But
exactly. there's a reason why
even Asus isn't touching Tegras anymore.
But I think it's honestly really about that they wanted something cheap. They were probably like, yeah, sure, we'll use that. And then it's like...
Well, yeah, that's the cheap option. It's like, how cheap is it to get an Android OS? Also, it does say here there is specially designed software that comes with the Android one. For painting and sketching. Well, they're at least providing something. Come on.
At least they are providing something, but it's still like, you know, I'm sorry, but when you, it's like, and I'm going to go back to video game consoles. It's like when a video game console releases and you're like, where's the games? And you're like, okay, so you've got one. Great. Awesome. And
Well, another way of putting this is it's like,
This should have honestly been headless. This should have been a headless device that you just basically can like have a laptop sitting somewhere else or a computer, and you can just use it.
Okay, explain what you mean by headless. Wait. Explain what you mean by headless, though.
With a massive battery that you could actually like draw in the living room and have a wireless video
receiver.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And that's what it should have been. But unfortunately, what I think happened is that they started getting all fancy and starting to say things like, well, we could put the OS in there. And then they ended up with this monstrosity. And I'm very disappointed because now I'm going to have to go build my own goddamn tablet. Because now I'm so angry about this. I'm actually considering just, okay, I'll build my own goddamn wireless Cintiq tablet. And with
hookers and strippers. Hookers.
All right. Yeah. Kitty Hawk, now I want you to explain, what do you mean by it should be headless? What does that mean? I don't understand.
Okay, so you know how the Wii U controller works, right? That it's actually the base unit is what's doing all the calculations and everything like that. And all it's doing is it's basically transmitting to the controller.
Right.
This is what I'm talking about, because actually my husband was telling me that he could actually build this for me where it would have wireless USB and wireless HDMI, which you wouldn't need if they had done this correctly. And I can basically then carry a Cintiq around the house.
Okay, you're not explaining it. So
but what I'm explaining it, it's wireless video. It's like it's not... The actual Cintiq is not doing anything except for saying the person just touched this coordinate and it sends that to the computer. And the computer then says, cool, and is also sending the image to the Cintiq so that you can see what you're doing.
So you couldn't use this. You need a computer. You still need a computer.
Living room drawing.
Yeah, and if the
screen you're working on is totally independent of the actual computer, well, it transmits back to the computer.
It's wireless.
The computer's in a sleep. Yeah.
So I need another computer for this. I just can't pull this over to a Starbucks.
And like what I
without a laptop to connect it to, I can't do anything with.
Well, as Kiyoko was saying, her Mac Mini. She could use her Mac Mini.
I can actually, honestly, put my laptop in my backpack and have it so that it doesn't go to sleep when I shut it. And then it could be still talking to the to the Cintiq.
So the answer is yes. You need a computer in some form.
Yeah, and I'm not. That's the part that I'm not. I'm okay with that.
I am absolutely not okay with that. Fuck that noise.
Well,
that's not what we wanted.
You can have a more powerful machine. You can also not worry about heat. And it's honestly like. Having the two, like, I honestly have two machines right now, and I have to keep up with, like, I fortunately have a solution where I can keep up with all my files. Wacom's not really offering you a solution to keep up with your files, like, between the two devices. And also, the other thing is that I'm sorry, but when you go for a slower processor because you know that you have heat problems, then, you know... Maybe you should have solved the heat problems first instead of giving me a shitty machine. So that's why I'm saying I like the idea of a sort of Wii U-like device and a computer.
I don't. Okay, this is
so
not what
people
want.
The impression I'm getting here is basically is that what you have is you have a Wacom touch screen pasted onto an older laptop.
Yes.
You know, heavy with heat issues.
Oh,
in other
words,
you have a product that's inferior to current laptops.
I don't think that's no. Now I'm confused. Now you're saying that it's like there's a laptop with the thing, but you just said that you have to take the Wacom the Cintiq companion, and it has to be constantly connected to a laptop or a desktop computer to function.
No. The companion can be a separate device because it has.
But it has some issues.
It has a laptop in it, so it can be a separate device, and it also can hook up to your computer. What I'm talking about is I was wanting something where I keep my own computer, you know, that has my power, my programs, and I can use OS X or Linux, and then I have a headless device that just talks to it. And that's what I wanted so that I could be able to use the OS that I wanted to use. Because what if I wanted to use Windows 7? I can't use that. Sorry. Mm. Fuck you.
Okay. All right. I think nobody's getting what they really want.
No. So, fuck you, Wacom.
Well, maybe the next time they try something, but not at this price point. At this price point, I might as well just buy a 24 HD.
I'm serious. The 24 HD. Okay, we didn't talk about the 24 HD, but I love my 24 HD. The only thing is,
it could fit a full grown person in that box.
Yeah, actually, there's the. Let me find that video of me coming out of the Wacom box. when I got it. But I love my Wacom 24 HD, but I do admit that I would like some freedom. Like, I'd like to be able to kind of go outside a little bit.
And not need two people to carry it.
Well, yeah, that was hilarious when the guy delivered it and he was looking at me. He said, "So you want me to just put it here?" And I was like, "No, you're going to help me carry it up the stairs." No!
Of course, when he asked, he said it in an Australian accent, which we cannot.
Yeah. But it was hilarious because I was just like, nope, you're going to help me carry that up the stairs.
All right.
Coffee break for you.
But let's see. So, like, we talked about the Innovas, and I'll say that the Innovas are getting there. Wacom is floundering. Microsoft, and Apple is just making money, and they're happy.
Yeah, well, Apple also said they'll never make a touchscreen computer, but I know that they're going to come out with one next year. Oh,
I know. If they actually do come up with a I probably will end up buying a laptop if they have their own digitizer, because I probably would
I don't think they're going to go with a digitizer at first.
Well, no, not the Wacom digitizer. I'm just using the word digitizer
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to do it because their big thing is they're not really aiming for the creatives anymore. With the dumbing down of Final Cut and all that, I think that's showing a trend there.
Oh yeah.
If they do come up with a touchscreen, it's not gonna be a pressure sensitive, high accuracy. Well, but it's gonna be something more akin to what's on an iPad touchscreen.
Okay, let's be honest about productivity. Let's be honest about, like, everyone seems to not be interested in productivity anymore, and I think it's partly because there's not really a need. Like I guess people are like, they found that the consumer does not want to draw. And also, that's a niche market that's basically been sealed up by Wacom. And I really hate that, like, Wacom basically took over the market and then no one else wanted to make tablets. And I'm glad that there's, like, been some solutions, like, using Bluetooth.
And Yonolo has been the only really good, decent competitor to Wacom these days. Yeah. And again, for anybody listening, we had a whole episode on tablet options open to you. So I'll try to link that into the show notes as well. You can listen to a whole bunch of information.
Yeah.
But
so I think we've beaten up on the companion enough, and think we should just leave it at nice try, Wacom, but try again.
And now it's time for break.
Yay!
This program is part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. You can find and follow us on Tumblr, Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. Just search for Webcast Beacon. Have thoughts or questions on an episode? You can leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922 or email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Comics, art, and writing discussions, interviews, news, and reviews at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
So, did you get to the giant Spock yet?
Yes, we saw the giant Spock. We're almost through them. We're going to watch probably the rest tonight. Of Star Trek, and then watch Attack on Titan, because Attack on Titan is fucking awesome.
All right. So let's take a look. Actually, Monty, I'm sorry. Did you have anything to add to the Wacom companion discussion?
No. I mean, basically, it sounds like a product without a target market, because it's just, the laptop functions are covered better by laptops. The only thing it basically offers is a touchscreen, a Wacom quality touchscreen pasted onto an inferior computer. And so it's like, you don't need the computer, you just need the touchscreen.
And you could get that for $1,000, like right now. Like the Cintiq 13 HD is $1,000, and you can get a $1,000 laptop, and it's cheaper than the fucking Companion.
It's cheaper and it works better by what I'm hearing. So
yeah, it does.
There are better, cheaper solutions, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's just it's obvious that it just seems like a project that went bad. Like it seems like some people had some ideas and then it just went completely bad.
I think they compromised too much on the vision.
Well, they were basically probably what happened is that, like I said, I think it honestly was originally an Android device, and then halfway through, whether Microsoft interfered or not, they decided to do that, and then it just ended up just becoming a monster because
the Android version is a compromise because I said, exactly. Using a Tegra.
Yeah. Yeah, it's obvious that like Kyocera bought Wacom a couple of years ago, and it's obvious that Kyocera has no clue what to do with this. They're just like, we own it. What do we do with it?
All right, let's move away from this.
I also find it amusing just the fact that it's, you know, 20 pounds, and it's how many people are just lugging that thing around.
I can deal with weight if it does what I want it to do. But let's move on. Let's move on. Let's talk about Patreon.com.
Oh, Patreon. That's hilarious.
I'm actually not too harsh on this one because it rewards for production. And I never really hated on Kick Frauder too much because people are free to waste their money.
Yet you call it Kick Frauder.
Well, I'm saying this humorously, but at the same time, I'm okay with people throwing their money away however they wish, but that's beside the point that I'm trying to make. Is I'm kind of okay with patron.com because I like the idea of, you know, they only get paid if they produce, like one of the people I watch on YouTube, Smooth the Groove,
mm-hmm.
who does awesome a cappella songs. I mean he does. That's all he does. He just does a cappella versions of video game songs and with his cat. And people say, every time you make an a cappella video, we'll give you a dollar or as much as you want to give him every time he makes a video. So every time he makes an a cappella video, he makes $1 or how much. So I'm okay with that because he only gets it when he makes something. He's not, mm-hmm. it's not like, oh, give me this. And then I promise to make something. It's like, right. I made this.
So it's kind of like micropayments still in a way, just managed differently.
It is interesting, except that like I guess like I looked a little more into it and I immediately was like, I don't really think this is something I would ever want to use because
as a creator or as a consumer.
Well, it is as a creator because I looked at the fees. And it is pretty rich. It's like they ask you for 5% upfront on everything. Then they charge you 3% to use Stripe, which is way higher than if you actually use the Stripe yourself. You have to set up your own PayPal if you want to use it. And then they won't pay you but once a month. And then you have to have over $100 in your account in order for them to pay you. So if you're small, this is not an option at all. Like,
yeah, if you're an undiscovered, but at the same time, if you have like a little bit of a name, like I said, like Smooth McGroove, this does actually tie well if you have like a little bit of a following.
But it still doesn't even make any sense at that point because if you're big enough that you're able to make that kind of money, you're probably already hooked in enough into the community that you're not really going to need this. Also, the thing I just linked to.
Better ways of extracting cash from your audience.
Yeah. And also I just linked to.
Yeah, you could beg them.
They were just funded like $2.1 million of venture capital, which is awfully fishy to me because that usually means that this is about to get bought or in about a year or two and probably integrated into something else. So I would see how this goes because it seems like this is just basically investors trying to make their own Kickstarter.
Yeah, it does sound a little iffy, but you know, you know, like I said, I've seen much weirder and worse businesses lately. Like,
but they misspell PayPal several places on their fax too.
That is never a good sign.
Yeah, I'm just pointing out that this is just. I understand that this is kind of cool, but it just seems fishy because, like, the fees just seem weird. The fact that they got venture capital was kind of weird, and I mean, like I said. Yeah, I mean, it might be useful for some people, but I'm looking at this and going, oh, no.
Do you have any idea who they got their venture capital from in their history?
Let's see. Actually, I linked to it. It was like a big, okay, Angel, Charles River Ventures, Freestyle Capital, Alexis Ohanian. So basically all the usual suspects.
They ran a Kickstarter in order to make this site.
Yeah, they ran a Kickstarter to make a Kickstarter site, which then they're turn around and do a Kickstarter in the form of selling shares. So basically what this is investors trying to make their own Kickstarter so they can get in on the craze, man, with the kids.
Investors investing on the idea of investment.
I think civilization is officially over.
But like I said, it's I've seen far worse internet deals in the last 24 hours, like Maker Studios buying Blip for God's sakes.
Well, that makes more sense because that actually will be good for them because they are big enough that they can leave YouTube and now they have their own player and a brand.
I know, but Blip's been a dying brand though. That's the thing.
But it's a recognizable brand. It's the same reason that Infogrames bought the name Atari. Like, it's just basically, it's a recognizable brand. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. It's crap. It's a recognizable brand, and that makes more sense than, hey, guys, let's try to sell a Kickstarter. Well, you mean do a Kickstarter? No, sell a Kickstarter.
Well, be fair. I think if Infogrames did a really good job with the thing because they basically changed. Oh, I think they changed their company with it. They were basically buying the name, but they were still. I mean, Infogrames always has tried really, really hard to do good by their name. They brought us the Driver series, I think.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you know, it's a similar situation in that sometimes you have to buy a brand just so that you can have that recognition. And it happens a lot, you know, like, actually, Apple is technically next. But, of course, they kept the name Apple because that name is more recognizable.
It was a reverse merger, just like Disney and Pixar.
Yeah, so it honestly should be called Pixar / the estate of Steve Jobs, but it's called Disney. But anyway, getting back to... But yeah, Patreon. I'm just going to say that I think it looks a little fishy. And I mean, I'll watch it, but... I mean, the venture capital part just makes me kind of go,
Like I said, I like the idea of it because you have to produce to make versus give me a lump sum and we'll see what happens.
But the thing is like, I guess, like, the Kickstarter makes more sense because it's like they're handling all for you. They'll do some advertising for you and things like this. This is just like. Okay, so it's like the drunk duck of creators. And I'm like, I guess...
Oh,
like,
speaking of which, are they still down?
Oh, drunk
they're
duck?
They're still down.
Oh!
Had to do it.
The services. So yeah, Patreon, just look... I mean, if you want to try it, it looks interesting. I think the fees are a bit rapey. So I'm going to stay away from it.
That's terrible. I'm actually trying.
Is a lot.
I'm trying.
The fees are rapetastic, Kitty Hawk.
That's rapey,
is the way I describe paying them 5% to run their website. What the fuck, guys?
They're also the manager. All right, now I've been talking with an artist who's recently had some experience. Well, she's set up her own. Sort of thing right now, if I could somehow figure out how to get her in here. So, I'm pulling in Amanda Lafrenet of Love Me Nice from lovemenicecomic.com. She's recently, set up her own Patreon, and, I brought her on the call to get some, a bit of her opinion. Hello, Amanda.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
You've been on the show once before, I think.
Yeah, me and Lynn, me and Evans.
Yep, Lynn Wiesel.
Yeah.
I like Wiesel because it sounds a little bit more badass, but no. Because
it sounds like Vin Diesel?
Yeah.
She gets that a lot.
She has a tattoo on the back of her neck. No. Let's see here. So you've a little bit of recap. You did this webcomic called Love Me Nice, as well as some material for Slipshine.
Yes, erotica.
Hey, erotica.
Hey,
that's
rival.
My go-to word these days.
You're stuck to Kitty Hawk then.
Yeah, I'm a Filthy Figments person.
Aha, there you go.
Yeah, let's fight. How's things on your side?
What do you mean, things?
I'm just joking.
The competition.
You know, I'm being a spy, you know, Russian and American spy right now. So, comrade, how is the weather?
I think they're both under the Hiveworks umbrella now, so I don't think fighting's smart anyway.
Are they?
Yeah, like,
Hiveworks.
We're on the same side. Why would you fight at all?
Oh, Hiveworks.
Ben, not now. So, what we're going to...
Calm yourself.
So,
sorry for this bad laugh. Sorry.
All right. Ben, the webcomic Beacon is actually hosted on Hiveworks right now, too.
Well, you know, I won't say anything other than, you know, malware ad hijacking.
Oh yeah, that did happen.
He's on it and trying to solve it a lot better than some
PHP is AIDS.
Other services.
What is even going on?
Anyway, so Amanda has put together a Patreon. A Patreon, or however it said, if you would like to go ahead and describe sort of like the process you went through to put one of these together, or maybe why even you thought about trying this out.
Well, honestly, I'm friends with Spike Troutman, and she was looking at it, and she's like, this seems like a really good idea and to try out, and she pointed me towards it, and I looked it over, and it did seem like a good idea, because the reason I want to try it is because I have actually gotten quite a few donations before, but they always made me feel really guilty, especially when they got bigger, because I had someone at one point donate like $100 to my webcomic.
Awesome.
But that was at a point where I was not updating for like 2 months. And
awesome.
I felt basically like a butt face, because it's like, oh, you gave me money and there's no guarantee you'll ever see this comic again. Because at the time I was very busy and I was like, there's no guarantee. Mm-hmm. And the reason I like the Patreon site is because you kind of pledge money, but you don't have to give it to me unless I actually post something. And that kind of makes me, you know, it is a weight off my conscience, you know? I like getting paid for work that I do, even if it is a side project, and even if they are really just donations or pledges or what have you. It makes me feel like I'm earning it.
Ah, yeah. So how long have you been? I know Patreon's pretty recent, but how long have you been with it?
Oh, God, like, a week?
So a week?
Let me check.
And
2 weeks?
Okay.
Double check, because I don't actually know.
Yeah, it was actually
okay,
me.
So
it was actually me seeing this on Amanda's Tumblr. That I was like, what is this? And then I added it to the show notes to discuss. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. So you've already gotten 16 patrons. And so you charge $82 per
update. That's not per page.
That's the average.
I post, my updates are like 2 to 5 page chunks.
Yeah, I do.
Excellent.
That too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Admittedly that I don't do it very often, but I do work on other things. And so like they only pay you like once a month and only if you make $100 or more.
Yeah.
That's what I was reading in the fact. So
it's kind of like Google
so
Ads, where it sort of accumulates,
yeah,
and you get it when it reaches a certain amount.
Until Google Ads steals all your money and kicks you off, but you know, hey, whatever.
Potentially, yes, but in theory,
not in theory. I've had that happen to me, and it's happened to some people.
I didn't say that didn't happen to you. I said in theory.
Yeah, in theory, they will pay you. In theory, Google Wallet was supposed to pay people, but I knew people who hadn't been paid for 7 months. So you know. But getting back to Patreon. So you get paid every $100. You get paid once a month. And then the fees are like 5%. You pay them
5%. 3%-ish.
Oh, so and then you have to pay them 5% for the site, right? Mm-hmm. Like to be on the site. So you're paying them like 8%. Okay.
It's not that different from Kickstarter.
I know it's only been a week, but have you seen any like uptick in like readers or
pretty much the only people really giving any buzz are people who are already readers, but that's kind of the point anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it to get more readers. I'm really just doing it as a substitution for my donate button personally. And I know other people could probably use it as a way to like kind of like Kickstarter to fund new projects and get people into them.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm using it to just replace an old system that made me feel like crap. Because
I guess it's a pretty interesting system, and I guess it would like kick your butt to get, you know, to work and shit. But I just keep thinking like, I could honestly just do this myself. In that I've only been on there a week, so you have no idea how much draw you're going to get from this. But I guess like my point is that I keep thinking about this, and I keep thinking, but I could get like pay PayPal like the 2.3%. And then I get to keep the rest. I'm not paying someone 8% to just hold my money.
But the reason I like Patreon is it's all very transparent. You see exactly how much money people are giving me. So I can't say, well, I didn't get enough money really, so I can't do an update like, when I actually got double what
like
I'm
some
saying.
Certain webcomic.
So where does it say that how much money you've received?
Well, it says how much people are pledging per update.
Yeah, here it is right here.
Okay, all
right. Now I get $82 an update.
Like, okay. For instance, Smooth McGroove gets $1,272 per a cappella video.
This is how it's doing it, then the transparency really doesn't make any sense.
No.
It doesn't make sense that it's more transparent because, okay, hear me out.
Okay.
I could say that I release a Yuki every time I get, like, let's say $300. And then a Yuki comes out when I've got $300, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, same thing that's going on. Unless Patreon, does it send out an email that says, you've made this much money, here's the content.
Here's the content. It does send my content to people. It does it's like Kickstarter, there are pledger only updates.
So basically what you're doing is like the people don't get to see the comic unless they
No. My comic is free to read. This is just for people who want to support it.
But that yeah, so I guess
I think I know how to answer this. I think I know how to answer this. I think Kitty Hawk, you got a little mixed up at some point. Now, if I'm understanding this right, so right now there are 16 patrons for Amanda's page, and together they have pledged $82 per 2 to 5 page comic update.
Now, of them has put $10 forth.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah, I see it down here at the bottom.
And so when Amanda updates 2 to 5 pages of a comic and it's verified through Patreon or something like that, that she has made that commitment, then Amanda gets paid that amount.
Okay, so basically what this is saying is that your update is worth $82.
I guess.
Yeah, that's actually what it's saying. It's saying because you're basically selling these for like $10 a piece at like the 2 to 5 page comic update, and you get like
a you're kind of looking at this wrong. I'm not selling my comic. I'm allowing people to support it. Because my comic is not my day job. My comic is a hobby that I have because I have so many, like I have paying jobs right now. I have other comic jobs. I'm doing work for a publisher. Love Me Nice ultimately, and I say so in the video, has fallen to the wayside because I just can't afford to pay it attention. The idea behind this is it gives people a chance to support it so I can maybe justify working on it a little more. And it also helps, you know, that with some transparency and allows people to support it, you know, so when I do update, then their donations actually, you know, get accounted.
Versus taking a Kickstarter money and maybe never producing. It holds accountability here.
I get the accountability and I get that, but I guess like, okay, let me lay it out. The way I'm saying it is this site is doing something that I could already do. Like, I could already set this all up on my website, like, right now. And I understand that most people cannot, because this is, like, you could do it dirty and, like, do it, like, as low-tech as possible. And the thing is like, I guess I don't like the fact that...
problem at all, Kitty.
No.
It's
Let
not.
Let me get to it. Let me get to it. Like, the thing I'm trying to point out is that what this is basically telling me is, and I know that that's not what the point here is that it's basically telling people, like, $82 is what I want for an update. And I understand that's not what you're trying to say, but the thing is that why can't you just set it up yourself and say, if I get $300 or however much you would like to get, I will put out a comic, and then not pay the extra 5% to Patreon.
Kitty Hawk.
Why can't you do it yourself?
Kitty Hawk, you just described an alternative.
Okay, once again, I'll explain. Okay. Love Me Nice is a side project presently, and it's a hobby. I cannot guarantee I will have updates. Two, I'm going to update it regardless of it, if I have money.
Okay, but, like, my point is like,
Kitty Hawk,
so you
can
have
I put,
to have
can
the
I please jump
ready?
In here, Kitty Hawk? The answer is, what you just described is a direct answer to doing a Kickstarter. Because the thing is, yes, you could do all of that, but then again, they also have to trust you to actually, you know, they have to trust you that you are going to take this money and make content versus just accepting money.
But this part about where she's offering a thank you postcard with sketch, black and white, you get that when the project is funded, correct?
It's
no, you get that when their money is processed.
Exactly. So have you already sent those postcards to Patreon?
No,
so they
because
can
the money
out?
Has no, I mail them out and they have not been processed because I have made zero money so far.
And there you go. And there's my point. My point is that you're still having to do the Kickstarter stuff at the end. You're still having to send out the thank you cards. You're still having to produce the comic. Now, when I did my thing where I did a thing to raise money for my Cintiq, I did show people that I had some concept stuff for the pencil comic. And then as soon as I reached my funding goal, and I didn't do this through Kickstarter, I did this all myself. So I only had to pay the PayPal fee. As soon as I reached my goal, I released the pencil comic and everyone who donated it got a color comic. And the point is that I didn't have to deliver on the color comic if I've been a shyster, but I said, if you donate this money, I will give you a color comic. Now, what could they have done to me if I hadn't paid them? Well, they could have frozen my PayPal account, which is the same thing that can happen. Well, here it seems that you have to have the stuff up front, but you don't have those thank you postcards up front. Those are for if the project gets funded. So my point is that this is a nice service. I'm sure it's great for people who, you know, want someone to handle all that for them. My point is that I don't see what they're doing for me that I can't already do. Like, I can say, if I reach this goal, I will send this out. And
I think you just don't get the service.
I guess this is like you have a corporation giving you the assurance, and I guess that makes some people more safe. I'm not saying this isn't a bad service. I'm just saying I can do this myself.
Well, you can't do this yourself unless you have a third party holding the carrot in front of you before you get it.
I will bring up a point. I'm still filling Kickstarter pre-orders for a 400% funded Kickstarter. I'm still doing work for a publisher. While I physically could probably do this myself, I do not have the infrastructure or the time to handle it.
Can't take in money? You can't have a PayPal account?
I have a lot of things to handle every day.
Okay, so this
Hey, Hawk, let her speak.
Sorry, I'm just trying to point out that, like, this is not really doing anything other than you have the comic ready. So what all this is doing is taking in the money when the money could just be directly going into your PayPal account, and then you're not paying these guys an extra 5%.
I don't think you understand. Kitty Hawk, I honestly don't think you understand.
I understand the concept perfectly. I'm just pointing out that I don't know what they're doing for you except for taking 5% and saying, we'll she handle wanted the to funds get rid of you.
She want.
It seems there's a convenience factor.
Yeah, there's convenience factor. Okay, there's an accountability
also
factor.
Also, to handle the amount of money that my PayPal account already takes transaction fees.
Yeah, but I'm saying you're paying them an extra 5%. Like you're paying the PayPal fees and paying them an extra 5%. And I understand if you want the convenience, that's cool. My point is that I don't see what they're doing that I couldn't set up like with my Gmail account and a PayPal account. I've actually set that up.
I think we've hit a causality loop with Kitty Hawk because you're just repeating the same stuff over.
Well, I know I'm repeating the same thing because I'm trying to point out that like, well, this is a convenience service and I'm not going to use it. So right. I guess that's what my point is.
But she wanted to get rid of the donation thing, and she only wanted to earn this money when she had content, and so far it's working for her, I think. And
we'll see how things go for the future.
I will also point out I'm not taking donations. I just got a donation that wasn't through the site that was bigger than the individual pledges I've received.
Your thing is that you don't like getting donations. You want to be able to produce something for someone.
I don't mind getting donations, but I would still prefer to get paid for doing something. I don't like people giving me donations for a comic that could, as far as they know, be dead.
But why is it wrong to give money to a creator just because you like something? Like that's why
I still have a donation button and I still accept donations.
Okay, yeah, I get what this is about. This is basically about like you don't want to handle the emails, you don't want to handle the telling people when the comic is coming out. You just want to be able to let this take care of it, and they take care of the money for you.
Only this one side of it, because I still do I still handle.
No, I know you're doing other things. Like I do,
and I still handle its promotion, and I still take donations, and I still make ad money. This is just something else on the side.
Yeah,
yeah. And I guess this thing is like so Patreon does like does all the emailing for you is what I'm asking. Okay,
so you like this. None of these, or I assume, based on recognized names, have donated me money before. I still get donations. I've still received donations.
No.
This is an addition to everything else I'm doing with the comic and my other things. It's not replacing anything.
No,
and I'm not holding the comic ransom, and I'm not avoiding updating it.
No, I'm not saying any of that. I understand that this is a side project. My whole point is that I see this and I just see this as I can do this myself. And also, I guess why I've been sort of like down on Patreon is I just sort of see this as like, I guess PayPal already offers a lot of what Patreon is offering as far as like setting up a store.
There's
or setting
just
up
that
donations.
One thing that PayPal doesn't do, and that's not let the person that has the button to get the money until something has been shown for it. And that's the biggest thing
about
Patreon.
Incorrect. You can actually have it so that PayPal says we will charge you as soon as the item is shipped. And I can actually set that up.
We're talking about digital content though.
Yeah, I can do that with PayPal as well. Like I can
still
do that.
If you can figure it out and put up a whole tutorial. We'll put
that
up there for people to
try. Here's the thing:
I will show you my CBR. My
all right, Kitty Hawk.
Complete.
Okay?
Let Amanda finish this. And
I will say this, and this is for me. I like the idea of Patreon support, and as I'm wondering if you actually watch the video. It is an experiment to see how this goes.
I'm genuinely
experimenting, and another thing is. PayPal has legendarily screwed many webcomic people over for printed and digital content before. And this is an experiment to see, is this another option? Will this screw people over? Because PayPal has legendarily screwed some people over. There are Angela Malik can never use PayPal again for reasons that are still a mystery.
I know people that have been screwed out of $20,000 through PayPal.
And I'm not saying someone couldn't do this themselves. It's just an interesting opportunity, and perhaps it could go badly, but it's interesting.
My thing is about PayPal is what?
You've already stated your case multiple times.
But what my point is like you just said that you're not using PayPal. So how are you using their credit card processor?
I never said I didn't use PayPal.
Then why? Okay, so my question then becomes, if you just said that PayPal is dangerous and that you're using this in order to get away. Well, okay, so, but if you said that you wanted to keep away from PayPal. Okay, so you're still taking PayPal.
No. Katie Hawk. I'm listening, please. I don't mean to shout over you or talk over you, but I never said.
No. Does this money go directly into your bank account? Does it go directly into your bank account?
Yes, they can give it to you through PayPal. They can give it to you via direct deposit.
Okay, so you're still taking PayPal, so this is not really protecting you from PayPal. Okay, so it's not really protecting you from PayPal if you're using
PayPal. As I was trying to say earlier, I'm not saying that PayPal is dangerous and no one should use it, but what I'm saying is any new thing is of interest to me because the more competition and the more options there are, that's better in general. So Patreon turns out to be good, I would like to know. And this is a very no harm. I view this as a very no harm, no foul way to find out, because the way I view it is I'm updating my comic regardless of if nobody pledged me money, my comic would still be updating.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, like, that's the same with my comic.
It's not like I'm going to lose out, or it's not like I'm making plans. This is sort of a, hey, if y'all want to participate in this thing, you can. If you want to press my donate button for my PayPal, you can.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. If you're just trying it out, then yeah, I mean, like that makes a lot of sense. And I guess I'm going to see what time tells, just because I don't like to jump into things right away.
Yeah. I appreciate that Amanda has been able to go ahead and jump out, stick out there. She's a well-known name. So it's something incredible to follow. And also, you know, and Amanda, you have been updating Love Me Nice again. It's been nice seeing extra updates on Tumblr and on the website. And I do want to thank you for the time that you've taken out of your day to come on to the show and tolerate Kitty Hawk. And
I want to just say something. I really enjoy talking about it. No.
I'm trying to close things because we need to go.
I just want to say this to her. I'm not attacking you. I just wanted to know some things about this thing because, like, it is brand new, and I'm really actually happy that I was able to talk to you about it. Right. I know I come across aggressive, but it's just because I really enjoy talking about this sort of stuff. The nitty gritty behind doing comics is actually what I get into.
Kitty Hawk, do you learn by internal monologue? Is that your learning system?
Internal monologue. Honestly, I'm just reading stuff while I'm talking to you. So I'm picking up new information as we're talking to you. I also listen to you. It's just that I just wanted to see what this was about. And I'm glad that we talked about this. But the thing is that you can't say that me asking questions is wrong.
You're just a little.
You just have to give them time to answer.
Yeah,
them.
A little jump in the
gun. It's hard to do on Skype because sometimes you guys drop out.
So, Kitty Hawk.
And also, I want to jump back in here and just say my personal feelings on Patreon is I'm okay with it. I'm okay with people choosing how they want to spend their money or even take someone to be their middleman because honestly, you can shop around, find the best option. But if you want to take that bank that gives you that insane, rape-tastic interest rate for your home for your mortgage, that's up to you.
All right.
Yeah, and, exactly. So, do you want all the money or do you want some of the money?
So
like I said, it's a really funny story of how I found about Patreon. Anyways, it was a really funny story.
So with that, we spent the whole second half of the episode talking about this. Amanda, I really appreciate your time being on this episode today and answering a lot of the questions.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And, cool. And
thank you for coming.
Yeah, best of luck.
And I will definitely be checking out your comic because I've been actually looking at it this whole time and it is really super cute looking.
It is. It's thank awesome. You. It's nice seeing it updating again. And of course, if anybody doesn't have it and they like cartoon porn, go ahead and check out Slip Shrine and see, you know, Amanda's contributions to that site, as well as a lot of the other great content.
Mm-hmm. What series do you do on Slip Shrine?
Oh, I feel like you're asking me to start to say it out loud. Titty time.
There we go. All right. Well, that's all we have for you, Amanda. Thank you very much. Right. And I'll let you get back to your work.
I love you for that title.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh boy.
Okay. I think there's no more topics, Fess.
Technically, yes.
Okay.
Those were boring topics.
Yeah. Who cares? Well, actually, I do have one quick thing to say about this panel webcomics theme for WordPress. I looked at it. I actually installed it on my Virgin WordPress install. It's nothing special.
It looks very, 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 very simple.
Like I said, I keep around at least one Virgin WordPress install just to try out new plugins, just to see what they do.
This is better than just trying to put something on Blogspot. I'll give it that, but that's not saying much.
But this honestly, people have been doing this with WordPress for a while. They've just now put it part of the main.
Let's be completely fair. Comic Press is a joke, and all the other web comic plugins for WordPress are a joke. It's a blogging engine. It will always be a blogging engine. You can't teach a duck how to.
Unfortunately, whoever gets there first wins. So they got there first. So
yeah, but it's just a duck in a chicken suit. So it's
full of AIDS. I mean, like I hear about the bug reports for WordPress every week, and it's just like, oh Jesus, is it like fucking everything on the street? Yes,
pretty much. It pretty much picks up things out of nowhere.
Send hate mail to Kitty Hawk.
Yes. No, it's just PHP.
Kitty Hawk,
PHP is AIDS. Yes.
You rival me in pure ADHD and tangent speak. Not really.
You're kind of vanilla there, Fess.
Yeah,
no, she rivals me as in, it's like, I thought I had issues staying on topic and speaking over people a lot, but you... And staying on topic.
Okay, like my thing is like I'm just trying to get the point across, and like
true, but you basically are exactly repeating yourself. You exactly repeated yourself four times.
I admit that I do repeat myself, but sometimes it's because like it's that I'm trying to make you understand that with the Patreon thing, it was that I'm not saying you shouldn't use it. I'm saying why I wouldn't use it.
No,
and like that's my point.
You just didn't seem to get that it's supposed to be a carrot and stick approach versus the money at
instead of getting the money first. Like you could do it yourself. You know,
can't do it yourself. You can't. Okay. You literally can't.
I would really like to hear why I can't do it myself.
Because you are taking money first.
Right?
You take money first. This doesn't give them.
I don't have to. I can actually set up PayPal so that people will get charged when the thing is shipped.
And how does that work?
I basically
is it PayPal? Is it PayPal judging whether or not you sent something? Is it the customer saying whether or not they received something?
What you do is you set up a digital source, a fake digital storefront. Well, it's not fake really, but it's like behind the scenes. And what you do is whenever you publish your comic, you treat that as a transaction. And that is seen as being shipped, and boom, you're done.
It sends a symbol to PayPal saying, I have released it.
It's
PayPal
still
says, cool.
It's your honor. It's on your honor. That's the thing. It's still on your honor.
So what you're basically saying, what I think we're getting at is that you're basically saying if a corporation basically says that they will stand as the middleman between you and the person acting as escrow, then that's what you would prefer.
I'm telling you that's what the point was, because you didn't seem to get
what's going on with Patreon. I'm just pointing out that I don't see why, like one of the rewards that she had was that she would send you a postcard, right?
Right.
Well, Patreon has no idea when you're going to send that postcard.
How do you know?
Because it says so. Because it's basically those reward, the digital part Patreon knows about. It doesn't know about any of the physical things. So like if I offered up like a print, if SGVY updated and I didn't ship the print, Patreon doesn't know about that unless someone reports me. That's my point.
And then you can say, well, but I did ship it.
Yeah. You can say, then I did ship it. And then Patreon's like, well, she shipped it. And like that's my point. My point is that
I suppose
there's
that
not
part.
Really much more trust here, well, except over digital goods,
except for her own name and credibility. So I guess in that part, when you're starting to deal with the physical part.
Oh, now we're gonna. bring in that, huh? No. I'm just talking about the site, and now you're saying that I'm attacking her credibility.
No. I was just saying in general, the physical part that comes with, as far as the consumer relation to the creator, to be able to trust that.
Why is it wrong for me to just take the money, and then I deal with the digital good? How is that any different from her and the physical good? I mean, we have to trust that she will. Okay, I'll just make up a fake person so we're not talking about her.
Yeah,
so let's say Bob wants to send out a kitty cat every time he updates his digital comic.
No, can we stick to there's the physical mailing thing. That's where it gets a little bit towards like the Kickstarter aspect. But but if we just look at the carrot and the stick for the digital aspect, something that easily the website can check to see, oh hey, yeah, here you go. It's from a consumer standpoint, it's like, would I like to give money towards this project? Yes, I would, but I don't trust the Kickstarter method where you just give them money and then maybe you'll get something. So I would like to use Patreon because of that. So I think it's more like some consumers would like to give money towards creators would prefer this as an option because they've maybe been kick-frauded in the past or had really bad direct PayPal donation things for promises of products. So this
maybe a bad indie fraud go experience.
I see the advantage for the consumer. I see the advantage for the consumer. However, I don't care because I'm the producer and I see a lot of problems. Like an instance, like they want to take 5% and I'm like, what are you providing me with? Oh, your prestige. I'm paying you 5% for your prestige. And I'm also looking at the fact that like they,
it's a 5% escrow tax.
Like, I can set this up myself because I can set through PayPal that they won't get charged until the digital comic is out.
And so you get to keep your 5%.
And then they actually can see that the comic is out once they're charged. Like they get charged, comic is out. Everyone's happy. Now I don't have to pay Patreon 5%. Now I understand that like Amanda's using this because there's a convenience in that she's not having to write those scripts.
Right.
She's not having to keep up with those emails. Mm-hmm. And if that 5% is worth that, then yeah, okay, that's cool. I'm just pointing out that there are already solutions in place.
But they're hard.
They don't have the prestige of a corporation that just got $2.1 million from venture capital, mm-hmm. granted.
Right.
But like, people back Kickstarters, and they know that there's a possibility that the Kickstarter might not come through. So
Some people honestly don't understand how Kickstarters work, judging by some comments of.
Well, yeah, I understand that too. But my point is that the Patreon thing could get a bit bad in that. What if like you don't make the goal, or and also the fact is that she's making $82 per update, right? Well, that's less than the $100 that you would get per month. Like you have to make at least $100 in order to get paid. So this really isn't a solution. This is for her. This is okay because she's doing this sort of as a side project. But I can see this like if I were doing this, this could end up being a problem because like my funds would be tied up in a corporation for a month while they're making interest off of it. That's my issue. My issue just comes down to, why am I paying you 5% to hold my money for a month? That's my issue.
Because you know they're putting it in a bank for a month and they're in.
Yeah, they get the interest off of it and everything, and then I get it at the end of the month, and then I guess I get to make interest off of. I get sloppy seconds on that money.
So, Monty, what do you think? Should we move on?
I think we're done.
I think we're pretty much done. I think the honest truth is that I just don't trust services. So,
I know you have trust.
Pretty much laser-like focused on maximizing her profits, and I give it to her that yes, she can do it all on her own independently without external assistance. The problem is for other people that if you do not have the knowledge about setting up those scripts in PayPal, that is kind of a barrier.
Yeah, I know it is a barrier, and I understand that is, but. It's not actually that hard, and there are actually tutorials out there. In fact, I will, if you want me to, I will,
if you
write up a tutorial how to set up a Patreon like thing if you want.
Absolutely. And I would post it, awesome. Promote it, and everywhere. I will link it to this.
Okay, then I'll look into that tonight and I will give you that because I'm not gonna say that people are gonna use this because like the honest truth is that I've offered my software to several people. It's a lot better than WordPress. It doesn't have the vulnerabilities as WordPress, but I understand that most people just don't have the technical skill in order to do these things.
Or it's scary because it's like, yeah, you can look up tutorials and they're like, well, which tutorial is right? And things like that.
Well, there's usually on PayPal, there's going to be one right. There's really honestly going to be like with PayPal, you can set up the you know, you pay when the thing is shipped.
All right, because I don't know of any of this, so I wouldn't have even thought of that.
Yeah, there's also subscriptions. That's another thing that people don't know about PayPal. There's actually a subscription system in PayPal.
I just never did anything with it because
I understand what she's saying about PayPal that it's evil, and like I'm a person who uses it, and I understand that there's going to be that sad day where I try to get in my PayPal account and I'm not going to be able to.
That's why
I
understand. Whoops, you're a porn peddler.
Yeah, well, that's why you withdraw every day.
The other thing is that I've also had bank accounts closed on me and I couldn't get it back because the fucking bank got bought out by someone else and they lost my account. So it's like, I understand when I'm using services.
That sounds highly illegal.
Try getting a lawyer when you're fucking poor. Okay.
Yeah.
Like it's an issue of, I understand services will eventually fuck me. And so I use them sparingly just because I've been burned by Blogger. I've been burned by banks. I've been burned by Google. I've been burned by a lot of things.
You've been burned by fire too. You know, we all have. So, but
actually
we learned...
I have several scars from that. But
so I wanted to, there's just one last thing I wanted to mention only because it's like happening locally. And that's Wizardworld is basically trying to take over the Minnesota nonprofit comics convention, MCBA, FallCon, or SpringCon, actually. This is basically what Wizardworld does. They go to places that have a presence existing already of typically a nonprofit comics convention. They try to buy it out and or schedule something in the same month to overshadow and basically take it over. And they did try to buy out the MCBA SpringCon convention, actually. And they're like,
damn.
No, because it's nonprofit. It's very local and all that sort of stuff. And they donate money and food and all that sort of stuff. And even Adam Hughes got on. Wrote something about this as well because he was going to be coming back to SpringCon this year, I think. Well, next year, technically.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't want to go to any sort of Wizardworld anything just because of their business practices. And
yeah, I've heard bad things about them.
So I just wanted to get that out there, and I'll put the link to the bulk of it in the show notes so people can check it out.
But that's sad that the Wizard is buying them out because
they tried to, but now they scheduled
They're
scheduling their Wizard World comic convention 2 weeks before this one.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so they try to buy out or bustle out.
Yeah,
no, then that's just sad because like. I've known people who've gone to Wizard World conventions and they came back very unhappy. And I never did one just because they weren't ever in my area. But like I said, I've never heard really good things. And this makes me think like, well, buying out like nonprofit conventions is kind of like
douchey.
Yeah, it really is like a douche move. And also, I don't know. I just expect Wizard World to go belly up at some point. Just because
it will,
like,
it will.
Yeah, it's going to be sad because all these conventions that they've bought up are going to be gone, and like it's
and
just
then somebody can set up another nonprofit convention.
Absolutely, there's.
But I'm just pointing out that this is kind of like what happened in Alabama, in that like when the big convention died because of mismanagement, there wasn't a convention in Alabama for 12 years. Like
it takes time to build those things.
Yeah, the stigma kind of stays behind for a while.
Unless you got a really good local convention community.
You really have to have it jazzed.
In Minnesota, it's exploded.
Speaking of which, I am sort of getting involved in the convention circuit a little bit more. I can't really say much more until next month.
Ooh. Sweet. Well,
I'd like to be a guest.
Kitty Hawk, you can be a guest. It's just you just tell me what you need, and we'll try to arrange it.
Plane ticket.
Plane ticket. Okay, we'll try to arrange it.
All right.
Hooray!
Anything else?
Is this comics related, Ben? Can you at least say that?
It is comics related. I can't see anything else.
All right.
Okay, we'll talk when you can say things. How about that?
You can totally come on the show and
I could talk to you privately, Kitty Hawk, about it. I think you already know
we'll get in the chat after this and do this. I have to get to work on getting some books printed and shit today because I got a convention this weekend and
all right.
Anyway,
so
but thank you so much for having. Oh, we have any more to go over?
We have. I had to switch over again because we're talking for so long. So,
yes.
But that is
digital.
It.
Embrace the digital.
I am doing it digital. I just don't want to have a big giant file, and I can't afford a network server, whatever thing.
A network drive fest. You plug it into your router, and it lets you. It's treated like a regular hard drive on your computer.
I have one too. Actually, I have several.
I have a 2 gigabyte one, and I make sure that my Skype always records straight to that, and I have no slowdown when I do it.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about slowdown. It's if there's something that goes wrong with the computer or something, and
network drive,
and then the file that it's currently writing doesn't save because it's not a completed file.
How old's your computer?
No, that's just in general. If your computer goes bunk in your middle of recording, you will not get that recording ever. It's like working on Photoshop without saving for about an hour.
Who does that? I don't actually have the problem with the record. I've never had that problem with the recording.
I have that problem
with Photoshop because it's a piece of shit.
Unless
I have recordings back from September 2011 still here.
They're
massive files. They're 3 hour long files. I've never had this issue fast.
It's because I'm paranoid, and I can't unless Audition or some other program.
So you are two Domino mascots.
It's unless there's an audio recording program that sort of like partially saves periodically as you record, so you don't lose an entire.
I'm using it right now.
Oh, what's that?
MP3 Skype recorder.
It partially saves audio files if the program happens to shut off by accident.
Yes.
Hmm.
Well, okay, there are solutions.
All right. Well, I'll look into that. See, I'm not being snarky. I just didn't think or know like that. So now I know. So I'll try something. So
exactly. We've all learned something today.
I think we've all learned something today. Monty, I appreciate your patience through this whole episode.
I'm sorry, Monty.
Monty is literally a fixture on this show.
So is he supposed to be the new Mark Savory? Is that what he's doing?
Well, Mark Savory says things.
Monty is our silent guy in the corner who's just nodding, like, yes, I agree.
I can condense something down for the average layman, but I mean, it depends on, you know, what we're talking about, but it's just when you want to talk about, you know, specific technical knowledge of, you know, a new product.
He is our Mr. Snerdly.
Yeah, I'm the corporate person. I know all about these corporations, so I just want to talk about that shit. I want to talk about who's doing bad, who's doing good, who's up, who's down, right. Who's being raped.
Jesus Christ. Send hate mail to Kitty Hawk. Anyway, so that's going to be it for this episode of the Webcomic Bacon here at webcomicbacon.com. I've been Fess. We've had Ben Carver.
Thanks for having me.
From?
Animation Aficionados, animationaficionados.com.
Kitty Hawk.
Of Sparkling Generation, Valkyrie Yuki, SGVY.com, Sexy Fun. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm sorry, Amanda, but you have the best title for a comics, and now I gotta read it.
And Monty.
Vegetables for dessert. Dark humor to warm your cold black heart.
I'm so warm.
Thanks for listening. See you next time. We haven't signed the lease yet, but Melissa, my girlfriend Melissa, has already put down the deposit for we're going to be renting a house.
So you're moving out of the basement?
Moving out of the... Well, honestly, the house is going to be... I'm going to be in the basement again. my office is going to be in the basement. And hers is going to be upstairs.
So you just... You really are a basement dweller.
I am.
Better to reign in hell than to serve in heaven.
And also climate controlled. It's cooler in the basement during the summer a lot, so... But I'll be sleeping on the main floor.
It's like
it gets fucking hot there, dude. Like it's
yeah, it's like been 100 degrees today.
Yeah, it's like it's the humidity that makes that place hell.
Yeah, so there's that. So
I thought it was the Lutefisk that made that place hell.
Oh, that makes it heaven. What the hell's wrong with you? Anyway,
it's whitefish cured in lye.
Yeah, and kimchi is rotting cabbage.
Fermented cabbage. So fermented.
Yeah, that's called rotting. That's what cheese is. It's rotted milk that's solidified.